A61, number 25A.
You see what life is? Life is not getting. To have a concept, there is a God and he's so big, and that big is life, and he's the fullness. You know, there is an inexhaustible source somewhere up there, and that's God. And then we think, oh, that's a nice religion. Huh? Here I really can get and get and get. Here really I can, huh? Schöpfen. What means schöpfen? I can schöpfen. Huh? Oh. You draw, huh? I can draw out of the stream of life. I can draw a bucket full, huh? Just a barrel full, huh? I can draw. That's a poor situation. That's a very poor situation. We have a rich God and a poor man. How does that fit into principle and idea being one, huh? So, can you see what an attitude we take on as we go on in this study, that we feel, well, I am the fullness of life. I am the fullness of mind and of spirit and of soul and principle. And the more I see that fullness of those four synonymous terms, I experience life. I experience the fullness of life. Yeah? That's fullness, that's multiplication. The next one is way, which is the method of life. Way is just the biblical term for the more classical or scientific term called method. So Mrs. Eddy uses both, the way and the method. What means method? What is the meaning of a method? You see, you know, sometimes we use these terms like rule and system and law without really knowing what they mean. The method is the way to do it, if you want to have the way in it. Huh? The way to do it is the method. Beg your pardon?
The procedure.
The procedure, yes, the procedure how to do it. So, if life is the method, and life says the method is to draw out the fullness, to draw out of the superabundance of mind and spirit and soul, then we have the method. This is the method. I'm the way. Therefore, you get that so much, you know. Oh, golly, you know, if it just can say, you know, can you remember the fifth subject in the chapter on creation? Huh? There you have that wonderful sense of life where it says that we have life if we always have that method of seeing everything, its fullness and its perfection, of always projecting out of us the true sense of everything, the true sense of mind. That's the method, huh? Of projecting everything perfect out of ourselves onto the universe. That's the method of life. We have under life the individuality of life. Yes, how does that really fit into life, individuality? If we understand individuality the way Mrs. Eddy understands individuality, not the way the world understands individuality. I think the world understands under the term individuality that somebody is one out of a series, that is absolutely unique out of a series. That no one competes him, that no one is equal to him, that he has a way and a manner and a form of its own. Huh? That we call his individuality. And it just has something very specific that is only belonging to him. Huh? And we say, well, that's his individuality. That's his individual way of doing things. Huh? But in science, individuality has quite a different sense. What do we mean with individuality in life?
Inseparability.
Inseparability of spirit and matter?
No, inseparable from principle.
Inseparable from principle.
Principle.
Yeah. Inseparable from principle. And now, what is the difference between inseparability and individuality? It is meaning indivisible from. Huh? Now, what is now our individuality? Is it also that therefore we are something quite unique that does not repeat itself and that is uniquely individual for us?
Wouldn't spirit have to come in here in the indivisibility? I mean, the individuality that we have under the spirit. Wouldn't that have to be brought in here in order for that to occur? The uniqueness.
The uniqueness.
We're one unique individual idea, but we are indivisible from mind, spirit, soul, principle.
Uh-huh.
It seems to me that both would have to come in. That just occurred to me tonight,
yeah.
Because I've been puzzled by individuality under both of these for some time, but that just occurred to me a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Wouldn't it be as reflection, each reflecting the whole, but individually, so there's no duplicate. But each is a full reflection of the whole, individually expressed.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, you touch on a slightly different sense of individuality than just before. Hmm? Because just before came out the sense of being indivisible from principle and therefore having quite a unique, never repeated individual form or office. But if you think out the whole thing rightly, then you say, and you see something much greater. Namely, life says, or individuality says, I'm undivided from principle. But what is principle? Principle says, I have infinite ideas. Infinite ideas. Therefore, I don't have a individuality. Hmm? If I may call it that way. The beauty about us is that we have all individualities. Hmm? That our individuality is that we have all individualities. As you try to bring it out through spirit, through the reflection of spirit, huh? That therefore we express all individualities as our individuality.
Hmm? You mean it's an expression of the whole and the part then?
Yeah, yeah. See, that's what we must see, you see. That's where we break down the human concept of individuality, which is actually isolation, because it says, I am only man, therefore don't ask for me that I can give birth to an idea, that's the business of a woman. I am a man, I am a strong guy, I am a creative, don't ask for me that I'm meek and tender and loving. Huh? That a woman can do that. That's not my individuality. Can you see? That's what the world understands under individuality. That he says, well, that's his individuality. Well, if we say that in the spiritual, we must say he has infinite individuality. He is at the same time a man and a woman and a friend and a father and a son and a brother and a boss and I don't know what. Huh? He's everything at the same time through his being in undivided from principle. That's where I get in. That's where I was hammering it already before, somewhere in the week, where I said, for heaven's sake, see that we have all the abilities because we have all individualities. We can't restrict individuality to one kind of individuality. We have all the individualities. Again, at the same time, at the same space, in isness. In isness. I can be at once, at the same time, I can be a man and a woman. I can be a father and a mother. I can be a creative researcher, and I can be a tender friend. Anyway, I should be.
Max, can I tell you this? Since the infinite mind is one, and infinity is one, and it has its expression, doesn't it automatically have to be one?
An infinite.
Yes.
At the one, individuality has to be an infinite, has to be infinite individualities.
In its capability, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if infinity is one, its expression has to be one.
Yeah. Yeah. Judy?
I just thought of maybe the difference for Bill between the individuality and spirit and the difference between individuality and life. Back in spirit, when we're talking about individuality, it's in a form of classification, such as trees from flowers in that respect. And when we get into life, individuality is more like a spring pouring forth a flow of water is just to say that the water is composed of drops, and each drop would be the individual expression of the water coming forth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit different tone to each.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I'm not such an authority that I could say if it's right or not. But I think there is, at this point, perhaps something to point out. You know, when we had in spirit, that spirit diversifies, classifies, individualizes. You know, spirit is only the ability to do that, not the diversification, classification, and individualization. Only the ability to do it. And therefore, you can see, what happens is that soul is that diversification, principle that classification. Soul is the diversification, it gives the gender. First makes the different genders, the genders of soul. Then principle classifies them, and life individualizes them. So you have the creator in mind, then spirit, really, the ability to order now the whole thing, to order the whole realm of ideas of mind. You begin to order them. How? Through the diversification or genderization, so to say, of soul, classification of principle, and individualization in life. That's where you get. And then truth comes and says, and everyone has its perfect form. Yeah? Truth and love say, and you have its everyone has its perfect form. And you have the whole seven. Yes, can you see how somehow the order of the seven just flows naturally right through always? So, we go further and see being or life is existence, well, business, existence. We usually make a difference between is and existence. Is is a more absolute form of beingness, and existence is usually used, the term existence is usually used for more the isness in the human, the existence in the human, giving to the existence of the human its life sense. Existence, ever-present, we have seen that this is actually still a space sense and not really an isness sense, that in that existence everything is and exists. It's very difficult to bring out the ideas of life because it's always is. If I just could touch that sense of what is, then if is, then you have multiplication, you have individualization, you have self-supporting, self-maintaining, self-providing. Everything is there if we can really get the sense that isness is. Then we have being naturally, that life is the law of being, eternal, life is eternal. Well, all this eternal time sense comes in, the new old life, the newness of life, the isness of life, the same yesterday, today and forever, life was, is and shall be. You see, can you see how she must make a concession, so to say, to the human sense when she wants to explain life? The concession that she says, oh, it's a long life, it's an endless life, a timeless life, an eternal life, and yet we feel this is not yet the real essence of life. It's still a long term, a long time sense in it. I think when you think about life, what life really means, you know, think about some exact science like arithmetic, huh? And say, now, how long exists 2 and 2 equal 4? How long does that exist? Huh? How long does it last? And there, I think there you feel it, how silly it is, the question. That you ask a wrong question. That something that is, and you shouldn't ask how long. That the question we usually ask to life is wrong. And then everything boils down to something very, very so simple, huh? That is so simple that we can no more express it properly. How can we explain isness? I don't know how I can explain isness, except that I say it about 100 times, always, and say, you see, it's not eternal, it's not time, it's not space, it is. Huh? So, excuse me, but I don't know how to explain it. All right, it's without, she says, it's everlasting newness, without beginning, without end, permanent, huh? How can you say life is permanent? Well, that's a time sense in it. But it helps. It helps a little bit. As it says, oh, it doesn't finish right away again, huh? Permanent, continuity, continuous, perpetuate. Can you see? I read actual terms which he associates with life. They all seem to be watered down a little bit, huh? Watered down to a long time sense. They perpetuate, they are permanent, in the vast forever, goes on unchanged, perpetuates being. It's all the same thing. Life, isness, is indestructible. Another sense, what is, cannot be destroyed. Huh? Well, there is nothing more to be said about it than life is. The very fact that is. Huh? But can you see what Mrs. Eddy must have meant? That always made me think. And already on the third page, she said, if we are grateful for benefits received, something like that, and yet are ungrateful for life, and yet we are ungrateful for life, truth and love, huh? We are insincere. And we are insincere and receive the soft censure of the master, which he pronounced on hypocrites. Huh? Call it. Huh? To be grateful for the benefits received, we are a hypocrite. Don't tell that to any of the churches and the pastors who preach for a whole Sunday how to be grateful for the benefits received. Now you have to say your prayers in the evening, to be grateful that everything happened nicely during the day, that you are grateful that you are still well and not be sick, and that you had enough to eat today, and that you know what goes on, and that the cow this and that and so on, huh? And that it was raining during the day, and for the crop is right, and you are grateful, and then to say, therefore you are a real hypocrite. This is really sharp, huh? Well, really sharp. Why? Huh? Why? Because it's only be grateful for the effect, but not for the cause. And if you are ungrateful for life, for being, sometimes when I drive and then I like, I don't listen to my tapes like others do. They are in a better position than I am. I can't listen to my tapes. I scream when I hear me. So I have to entertain me differently, and so I think about these things sometimes. And for a long drive I think, my golly, what does it mean to be grateful that life is? Are you really grateful that life is? And what does that mean that life is? Huh? That life is. And then I begin to think, how would the world look like if life would not be? Huh? How would the world look like if life would not be? If there would be no isness? Huh? There would be no isness? There would be nothing. Huh? Isn't it terrific? So simple. But are we ever grateful that thing that being is? How much do we gain in one go when we see that life is? We take in the whole world in one go. And we don't need to be grateful for the rain that was falling today and for the good meal that we got today and so on. You see? We take in the whole in one go. We never think about these deep things strong enough. That being is. You think it out once. How, what kind of a world we would have without life, if we take life not as mortal life, bodily life, human life, family life, long life, huh? But if we take life as the fact that something is, that being is, or the fact that truth is true. Think out what the world would look like if truth would not be true. If there would be no truth. Have you ever thought it out? This is quite interesting. It's a real good game to make once for yourself. To think out what that would mean if truth would not exist. Or if truth would be a jolly good liar. Huh? Or would somehow perform and appear as true and would not be true, actually. Huh? If he would perform a good play and say, I'm true, but inwardly would not be true. And what the world would look like without love. I mean, love is a capital L. It's a big game. Huh? It's a big mental game to do it. It's quite enormous. And we would think, golly, there would be nothing. There would be nothing reliable, because truth is true, therefore there would be nothing reliable. And there would never be any fulfillment. Nothing would ever have a fruition or fulfillment. Think of a world like that. Are we grateful for it? Huh? No, we are grateful for all the little, tiny little things. That's why Jesus said, that's why Mrs. Eddy says that he pronounced, huh, the sharp century pronounced on hypocrites. Mm-hmm. So here enters life, huh, as the wonderful sense of isness. Huh? Yeah, life is indestructible, all right, it's deathless. Poof. Yeah, all right, it's deathless. Huh? But really we have touched on the right tone of isness. Yes, well, I think we did it, huh? We had life. So, tomorrow we take truth.